Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. I'm your host, Michelle Berard. Very happy to share this hour with you where we examine all the places you're experiencing in life. Where we can learn and grow together. We discuss a variety of topics here, ranging from love to politics to money, business, and beyond. And we do that because the human experience is wide and is varied. There is no just one thing that life is made of, and we're here to talk about life, really. Now, I know that you guys have a lot to share with us as well, so we're not just going to be talking at you for an hour. This is meant to be a participatory experience, just like life, and I want to hear from you. So get your questions ready, get your comments ready, because in the second half of the show, we'll be taking calls from you, our audience. Now, I want to start out by thanking Ms. Beverly Black and Tribe Family Channel for helping me to create this space. Tribe Family Channel is home to a family of wonderful shows exploring life, spirit, business, and culture, including The Woman at the Well, hosted by Ms. Beverly Black herself. I also want to give a shout-out to Bruce George, founder of the Genius is Common movement. And if you guys haven't heard of it, you've got to look that up. Go to geniusiscommon.com. And Bruce George was my guest a few weeks ago, and he shared lots of nuggets of wisdom, made some great book recommendations. So if you didn't get a chance to hear that inaugural episode of Somewhere in the Middle, please, please, please look for it online. It is worth the listen. You can get to the replay by visiting Tribe Family Channel online and checking out the show recording. Now, tonight, I have a very special guest, and I am super excited to have her on the show to share with you this evening. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. Lacey Fields is the creator of You Go Girl, a life skills program for teen girls, and founder of the Go Girl Network, an organization founded to provide resources, training, support, and tools to equip women who work with youth. Lacey brings a dynamic approach to skills training to the Go Girl Network, combining her experience in the boardroom and the classroom, public speaking, and her hard-won business savvy. Lacey believes that if more women are equipped and supported to work with girls, the future of those young women will change dramatically. Now, Lacey has also dedicated more than 10 years to working with youth. Her You Go Girl program earned her a hometown hero spotlight in her hometown of Macon, Georgia, which is right up the road from me a bit. She's been featured as an expert on teen issues by national media outlets such as Fox News and ABC. and Lacey has had the privilege to work with life coach Lisa Nichols and Steve Harvey on their sales and events teams. Her work with such prominent figures in the personal development world really opened Lacey's eyes to the possibilities for herself and for the women and youth that she serves. Lacey holds a degree in human services and continues her education through workshops and training in the fields of professional counseling, health coaching, and personal and business development, truly adhering to her own advice to others to be a lifelong learner. And more importantly, in some ways, Lacey is also a great friend and colleague. So with no further delay, I want to welcome Ms. Lacey Fields to Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. Yay!
Oh, my goodness. Yay! I'm waiting for the Lacey Fields that you talked about to come on here. That was great. That was great. Such an introduction.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show and welcome. And I see that Lacey every single day. So I really am excited for our listeners to learn more about you.
Yes, yes, yes. And then they'll be like, that's not the same person that you read about. But I'm so glad and privileged. Okay, I don't know what's going on. To be here, Michelle, thank you so much for having me.
No problem at all. So I am really pleased.
Go ahead.
I'm really pleased because I want to tell everybody why I'm excited to have you on the show. So I'm going to tell them right now. So as if your amazing bio isn't enough, right? I have also had the pleasure of working with you on one of your book projects. And I'm looking forward to working on your next book with you. And it's not just a book. It's really an entire program to help women and girls. And I want to start this interview with two questions, and this is what I intend to start every interview with because I think they're important questions. And the reason I start with these two questions is because I believe they lead right into what you're doing and why. So, Lacey Fields, who are you, and how did you become who you are today? Not just as a business person, not just as a writer, not just as a coach, but as the woman you are today.
Oh, wow. Those are great questions. You would think that, you know, we would have ready-made answers for those. But I'm just going to answer, you know, honestly, I am a survivor. I am a resilient woman. I am a woman who stands in her truth. And, you know, as a woman, oh, goodness, this is a good question. I'm like, oh, I was not prepared. And as a woman, I feel that it's hard for us, number one. And the reason that I do the things that I do, and not just as a coach, is because I totally understand what it means to want that support or to want that accountability. And I stand, you know, in the place. I stand in the gap for that. You know, I'm that gap filler for support to show women that, listen, we can do this genuinely and we can do this positively. And I feel like that's who I am. I hope I answer that good.
Well, I think it's a great answer. So you mentioned a few things that I'm going to now ask you about. So you said you were a survivor.
Yes.
What did you survive? What is your testimony about survival?
My testimony about survival is I've survived, I think if you were to lay out the scales of abuses, I've survived pretty much about 90% of them. And it's something that I look at as whatever you overcome is because you're supposed to help somebody else overcome that thing. So I never really dwelled on it. If it was physical, sexual, emotional abuse, I really tried to, you know, say to myself, okay, what can this do to me that's going to be detrimental? And how do I avoid that from happening? You know, and when I work with women and I work with girls, that's the number one thing that I want them to get from me is, you know, how to not look at situations as a victim role. You know, I wasn't a victim of abuse. I survived it because I figured out to not let it become who I was. And so in saying a survivor, it's saying that I developed strategies to overcome my situation. And so, you know, therefore I survived them.
So what kinds of, and I am going to ask a little bit deeper questions about
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
And certainly feel free to say, nope, that's off limits if you don't want to talk
okay.
about it. But,
oh,
you know,
no.
would you be willing to share about, you know, some of the abuse that you experienced and then maybe some of the strategies that you developed for dealing with or overcoming the effects of that abuse?
Okay, sure, sure, sure. I know everybody has like an Oprah story. So I think I have two, like little, an Oprah. And one of them is at 7 years old, I was molested by my cousin. And the next morning, I told his sister, her and I are the same age. And she was like, oh, it happens all the time. It's just a part of life. It's what she said to me. We're seven having this conversation. And I was like, do you think I should tell anybody? She was like, no, because then who's going to watch you while your mom works? At 7 years old, these are the type of things that we were talking about. You know, well, if I tell, who's going to watch us go to work at night? Because this is the person who she had to watch us, which was my aunt. And her son was the one who had done this. So I said, okay. That same day, that evening, afternoon, when Oprah came on, it was a day that she was talking about her sexual abuse and what she did to overcome it and how it took her a long time to process it. And I was like, well, I don't have time because my mom has to work, so I have to process this now. And at 7 years old, I had to look at it and say, you know what, I'm still alive. You know, hopefully nothing is wrong with me. But somebody else, I want to stop this. I want to figure out a way that this doesn't happen to anybody else. And this is what, this is my thought process at seven, at 7 years old. So having that mentality from such a very, very young age, like, okay, I'm going to stop anything. Fast forward 10 years. When I was in an abusive relationship, I can't say that it was an abusive relationship. I have to take that back. He hit me. I hit him more times than he hit me. Because in my mind, I was like, oh, no, 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 I have to stop this. I can't be someone to be victimized. I can't be someone to be hit. So I'm going to, in turn, oh, I have to retaliate. I have to let you know you're not going to win this one. And maybe then you're not going to want to hit anybody else.
Gotcha.
So that has, you know, had always been my mindset. And I think always trying to rationalize something, even from a very young age, is what put me in that mindset anytime there, you know, was an abusive situation. And then I had to, you know, start asking, okay, well, why am I the one to continue to get put into different situations of abuse? And I'm very transparent about it. And I think what happened was me having that conversation at seven, that anytime anything else happened to me, I rationalized and I said, okay, well what was the situation? How can this be prevented again? Okay, so it happened again. I think at that time I was 11 years old, and I was sexually abused by a babysitter. So anytime my mom had to work, I was like, listen, lady, you can't go to work because every time you go to work at nighttime, something happens. So I started acting out. And I wasn't acting out because I was a bad child. I was acting out because I was like, Mom, you can't work at night because anytime you work at night, something bad happens. So me acting out and, you know, it came to nobody wanted to watch me. So if nobody wanted to watch me,
okay.
He had to take a day job, you know. So instead of me saying, Mommy, this happened to me, I had to figure out a way to kind of honestly manipulate the situation so that, you know, that one happened. And as a child, we put things together. When my mom is at work, abuse happened. So my mom can't work at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
And I don't think, you know, that as a child that everyone rationalizes it that way. And, you know, women and girls that I've spoken to, they were like, you did what at 7? You had a conversation with Sue? And, you know, I did say that it was because I was sent here to, you know, to be that space filler, to stand in the gap for those women and girls who could be abused sexually, emotionally, physically, and say to them, okay, well, let's talk about situations where this could happen, and educate women. Because, you know, it's a very hard thing if you're a single mom and you're like, okay, I have these kids, but then you have to think about, you know, whose hands are you putting them in? What could happen if? And try to find an alternative so it doesn't happen and kind of break that curse in my family. And so once I had my daughter, I never worked at night. If I had to work at night, nobody babysat. It was, you know, I'm like, wait a minute, no. I have to make sure she's somewhere safe. Because in my mind, night work meant abuse.
Wow. Now, that is really fascinating to me because that goes right to the heart of how children, like you said, make associations. And you said something else interesting, this phrase that I latch on to. You said something about breaking that curse in your family. You had to break that curse in your family. That gets right to the heart of the spiritual side of this, I think. So explain to me, if you don't mind, what do you mean by that curse? And what do you mean by being in your family? Is this something that you found was prevalent in your family? And if so, how did you go about trying to break that curse in your family?
Yeah. So I found out that my older sister had been sexually abused, and that you know, like my cousins and things like the girls that were older than me. And once I found that out, I was like, okay. At the time, I was 7, 8 years old when I found out that my sister had also been sexually molested. And I had a younger sister, 2 years younger than me. And I became like her real life guardian angel. Nothing happened to her. Nothing happened to her. So if we went anywhere, I was there. I was there. If, you know, like, say we're over a friend's house, if she goes to the bathroom, I'm at the door of the bathroom. I kind of guarded her. Another very ironic thing is my mother has 3 girls. My younger sister is the only one who was not sexually abused or in an abusive relationship. And I'm the only one with a daughter. My sister has 2 boys. My younger sister has a boy. And my son, who everyone thought was going to be my only child, you know, is a boy. And I'm the only one with a daughter. And, you know, I just pray over her every day. And, you know, so far, so good. And I'm just going to keep that going. So I know, you know, because the age in our family was actually 7 years old that the abuse happened for each one of my cousins, myself and my sister, and my daughter's 11 years old. So I feel as though, that I broke the curse. I stopped it at my sister, so then I stopped it with my daughter.
So do you think that there's a spiritual component to what was going on? I mean, do you feel like maybe there was some energy that just had to be dealt with in a particular way that was coursing through your family or that that had to be addressed? And if what was the way that you addressed it?
Again, I became a protector. I really became a protector, and I was very much aware of everything. And very open and honest. I talked to my kids. I talked to my younger sister about things. And nothing was, you know, what happens in this house stays in this house. Whatever happens, I need to know. Anything. And so I opened up dialogue, which was something that, of course, in our community is not open. And if you keep things in, you allow spirits to manifest. Because if it's not being talked about and if it's not being addressed, then you can't directly say, you know, as a Christian, we say, like, rebuke. You can't rebuke something if you keep it in, right? So you can't address it. So if you feel it, so if you feel that there's a spirit of molestation, if you feel that there's a spirit of physical abuse, if you feel that there's a spirit of low self-esteem, if it's not talked about, then that, you know, the spirit doesn't know that you know that it's happening and that it's there. So I think the more that you speak it, you know, it knows, you know what, they know what's going on. I'm going to either have to try harder or I'm going to have to go away.
Right,
so I
right,
definitely
right.
believe
now
that,
that, gets
that
to,
speaking it out, yeah.
Well, that gets to one of the other things you said about yourself. You said that you are, and I hope I have this, you said a phrase in a particular way, and I missed part of it, but it was about being a woman of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying now sounds to me, and tell me if I'm misinterpreting, that you have to be willing and able to speak out your truth in order to deal with whether it's good, bad, or otherwise, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. 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 Because I believe that that feelings and emotions harbor, and that breeds, I think it breeds evil, honestly. If you are quietly dealing with something, it's easy for, I call it, you know, that blanket. And people call it depression, but I know that it's a spirit. And I call it that blanket to wrap you up. Because if you're not talking to anybody, if you're dealing with it by yourself, you know, that blanket can come and surround you and say, you know what, you aren't that pretty, you know, or you know what, you deserve for him to slap you. Or, you know, that you deserve when that man touched you because you're not saying anything. So it can continue to kind of wrap and wrap and wrap until it binds you. And so if you're speaking against it or you're speaking about it, if it's a spirit of low self-esteem in your family and you are constantly affirming the women in your house, telling them they're beautiful, letting them know these things, you know, you're intelligent, you're smart, you can do what whatever you put your mind to, if you're constantly, you know, reaffirming that, there's no place for that spirit to live because it can't wrap you in its blanket of lies. So as someone,
and that's what, and
you know,
that is what that deception is, right? That's what that deception is. It's a way of beating down your spirit.
Yep. Yeah.
So let me ask you then, how does this relate to you? Say again.
I said it beats you down until you convince, that you know what, I'm not that pretty. Until it, you know, once it starts to wrap you up and you start to believe it, then it lives there. So go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, so then my question is, how do you think that this relates to, like, you've been working with young women for a long time. This isn't your first rodeo, as they say, with working with the youth and with girls in particular. So what kinds of things are you seeing with the girls that you work with? I mean, first of all, what's your demographic? Who are you working with? And what kinds of issues are you seeing that they're dealing with?
Yeah. So the issues that they're dealing with are honestly all the issues I dealt with growing up, all the issues that, you know, I warded against. And it is the issue of low self-esteem, you know, not having a very supportive mother in the household, in a single-parent household. Again, the sexual abuse, physical abuse, and what I say, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know. So once, you know, you have a young woman come to you and say, you know, well, you know, in our 101 session, and I ask them, you know, is there anything that you want to tell me? You know, I give them like that open space to say, you can tell me anything, no judgment, no anything. This is just us talking, and 7 out of 10 have been abused. And immediately, the things that start coming out of their mouth, I call it blanket talk. You know, I guess it was supposed to happen. Or not being able to understand it and accepting it, but not accepting it with a strategy behind it. So me having strategies for overcoming the abuse, I'm able to immediately redirect it. So if I hear the spirit of low self-esteem, I immediately have them affirm their self right there. If I have to cut them off, no. And immediately redirect it and give them some positive things to start saying to themselves. And you will see a big difference. And it's just speaking, you know, the truth is you are intelligent. The truth is you are beautiful. And I need you to say these things. I need you to believe them. And the more they start saying them, the more they start believing them, the more that you start telling them, you see their spirit lift up immediately. Because maybe no one ever said that to them. They didn't have a way of looking at it. And I'm not someone who feels that women should feel like they are just victimized or, you know, continue to dwell on the issue. You know, oh, this happened, but you're still here, you know. It happened to you. You are stronger because of it. You are wiser because of it. You know, and immediately, like I said, immediately start to reaffirm positive things. And it's so ironic when you think to yourself, you know, as a child and you go through something, and, you know, like I said, I knew that I was supposed to, you know, give the same strategies to other people, but once it happens, it's so... And the first couple of times is really overwhelming. And then after that, it's liberating because then you feel like I didn't go through my abuse for nothing. It was a method behind the madness. You know, it didn't kill me. I'm still here. So what am I going to do about it? And that's the attitude that I transpose for the girls that I work with.
So, what are you finding? Are you working primarily in Georgia right now? Or are you working in other cities, in other states?
Now I'm primarily in Georgia since I'm here, but I know that a part of me actually working with other women and getting them trained to facilitate the programming is because it's needed. It's needed especially in the inner cities of more metro areas such as like Baltimore, Philadelphia, Chicago, Detroit. So, you know, me opening this up is so that I can reach them. But So right now I'm primarily in Georgia.
So are you finding it's primarily in the Black community? Are you finding girls of all races and ethnicities are experiencing these issues? And if so, you know, what are you finding and where, what do you think are some of the contributing factors?
The biggest contributing factor, honestly, and I don't care what race, nationality these girls are, is the mother. The mother may have experienced the exact same abuse. And, again, like I said, it's running through the family.
Mm.
And so, and that's what led me to learning how to work with women, because there were some interventions that had to be had. You know, I had to teach them how to reaffirm themselves as mothers and then pass that on to their daughters on a day-to-day basis and be willing to do that. And understanding, you know, hey, this is what we have to do in order, you know, to break that, in order to move on from it and to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And that, you know, the mothers was, I think, was very hard for me to deal with. I was like, I don't want to work with them. I honestly didn't want to work with them. I was like, I'm here for the girls. But I understood, and this is my other Oprah thing, I understood that I was sending them home to dysfunction. That I would be sending them home to dysfunction if I didn't have those mother meetings.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really like the number one contributing factor is mother.
So are you finding this is primarily in single-parent households where the moms have to rely on other people to take care of their kids and less so in two-parent households, or what's going on there?
Yeah, it is in mostly single-mother households. And then the two-parent households of African-Americans, primarily because that was, you know, my demographic. So that's the only, you know, demo that I can speak from, honestly. But I noticed in the two-parent household, there was abuse in the relationship of the mother and father.
Oh,
so the abuse kind of trickled
okay.
down. So the mother may have been being physically abused. I did have a case where the daughter was being sexually abused by her own father.
Wow. So is there a certain socioeconomic group that you're seeing, or is it across all economic groups?
It is low income. And I had the advantage of working with a few families that were affluent, and it was a culture shock for those girls to even be in the program. But they learned so much to see, like, you know, one of my friends could be dealing with something like this, and they learned how to address those issues. But they more so, the girls from that more affluent background, they have more issues with, I wouldn't say confidence, but kind of that being who they are in front of their family. Because, you know, most of the time, if you come from an affluent, you know, background, your parents, they raise you to be a certain way. So they expect you to be a certain way. And so when, you know, a girl starts coming into who she really is, it's kind of being hidden at home. Like they're playing perfect daughter at home, but then they're going out and wanting to experiment for the sake of experimenting, because, again, there isn't a lot of dialogue and conversation at home. It's just like, okay, we need you to do the right thing. 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 But not saying, you know, the right thing is, you know, waiting to have sex, or, you know, if you're curious, come and talk to us. If you find, you know, if you're dating and, you know, just kind of being open about what the right thing is, those conversations weren't happening at home. It was just, you know, hey, do the right thing, like Spike Lee. And that was it.
Gotcha. Wow, okay. So your program then, what I'm hearing is that your program works with not just the girls, but also with the moms in particular, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to be focusing on helping other women who want to help you to learn how to use your methodology, your process for helping these young girls so that they can get on a better path, because clearly a lot of abuse and things like that can lead to a lot of challenges and even, you know, tragedy if not checked. So talk to me, what's your program like? Talk to me about how you help other women to learn how to help. That's really women helping women, right? Women helping women in training, if you will.
Yeah.
How's your program work?
And in the teen coach certification, you learn the field approach. Because the first thing I tell the ladies is, you're not a coach. What you are is a life skills trainer. You're going to teach these girls how to do life. I assist them with finding their niche within the life skills genre. So you may be better at communications, or you may be great at hygiene, and showing you how you focusing on what your niche is going to be able to help you, you know, find your population, what age group of girls that you're better for, you know, working with, and kind of get your groove. Because even though you'll be delivering a curriculum, if you have a groove and you have your thing, say that your number one thing is, I'm really, really great at teaching girls communication skills, effective listening, body language, you name it. If you are administering a program, you're still going to uphold that communications within your classroom with the girls, right? So I show them that exactly who they are as a coach, as a trainer, and as a life skills trainer in the Youth Coach Certification Program. Then after they understand all the methods and how to coach youth, they're eligible to learn the curriculum. And in the curriculum, we cover things such as boundaries, Oh, goodness. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah.
We cover things such as boundaries, time management skills, hygiene, effective communication, peer selection. Just you name it, we cover it in the program. And you have, like, you have cheat sheets. I show you how to pull, if you're not strong, because I want you to work in your strength, how to solicit other sponsors and get other speakers into your class sessions. So you also learn that. And you understand the curriculum, because while you're learning it, you're assessing it to your own life. For you, I say, as you go through the program, you go through the program. So you have a clear understanding of what each outcome of each module should be, because you have applied that to your own life. And so I think that's really the best way to facilitate anything, is if you've been through it. And the other thing is, they don't. You can Google and search, and I have so many people who end up calling me back because they're like, oh, you know, well, I'm not a teacher, so I don't qualify for that program. Because they don't have a lot of programs that you could just go and purchase, take some training, and now you can mentor girls right in your neighborhood, where you're from. You can relate to their, you know, economic circumstances, socioeconomic circumstances. You can really relate to that topic better if you grew up in that neighborhood and you know what they're dealing with, right? And that's not offered.
Right.
If it's not directly in the school system, or you're not a social worker or tied to politics, it's really hard for you to come across such a program. And I think that that's really needed, because if you have that woman on your block who's like everybody's auntie, right, she knows what's going on. She's able to tell her parents, hey, she was at this other child's house, and you know that girl ain't right,
right.
You know. And if you equip her with the right tools and resources that she needs to effectively communicate change in her own community, that is very powerful. Not only can you change city blocks, but you can change neighborhoods, you can change communities, you can change cities, you can change states. If we're able to effectively lay the groundwork and get a program like You Go Girl in the hands of women who have a heart to do this right in their own backyard.
Wow. That is powerful. That is what's really striking me about it is what you said now, this one term, having the heart to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people, so many women who want to reach out, who want to do something to help other young women, whether it's because they experienced something growing up or they just see the need in the community. How would they get in touch with you? How would they reach out to you to learn more about your program, or even just to, you know, follow you, whether on Facebook, whatever, to hear what you have to say and maybe inspire them in some way?
Right. So they can follow me on social media, Periscope, which I promise I'm going to pick up. I promise I'm going to pick up on my Periscope. I did one, and I got a lot of good feedback and a lot of viewers, so I said, okay, it's time for me to buckle down. And that is Lacey, L-A-C-Y, on purpose, and it's at Lacey on purpose. If you would like more information, even though the program is open to the public, I am selective, so I prefer an interest email to info@UGoGirlProgram.com, and that is info@UGoGirlProgram.com. So they can send an interest email there if they're interested in learning more about the Teen Coach Certification or the You Go Girl curriculum.
Very cool. So let me ask you again, I'm going back to the beginning when we were talking.
Mm-hmm.
You specifically mentioned that you were a resilient woman. So how does that resilience manifest itself?
How did it, or how does it?
How does it? In your day-to-day life, how does that resilience manifest itself?
I think, you know, every day I wake up like it's Pinky in the Brain, and I'm trying to figure out how can I take over the world every single day. And I think waking up with that attitude says enough. But there are so many things from my past and just what, you know, society has kind of labeled and stamped on the back of my shirt that said that I can't. And every day, I think for the past 7 years, be it big or small, I woke up and I said, what can I make happen that they said I couldn't make happen? And people are like, oh, my God, even like when I wrote the book, oh, my God, are you so happy that you wrote the book? No, but I couldn't do it, so I'm just happy I did it. That, you know, and that was my attitude. Like, yep. I'm just happy I did it, you know, because they said it couldn't be done. So what's the next thing? What else can I do that they said couldn't be done? And really pushing myself to the limit. And, you know, as a single mom, it's hard to find time to send an email, let alone write a book or write a program. Right. And so I believe that resilience is manifested in all of the things that I bring to fruition that were just ideas that someone told me that I don't think it could be done. Not that it couldn't be done, but it couldn't be done by me. So I believe that is where my resilience lies. And be it big or small, I will continue to produce things to say, this is an idea that is now real, ha, and I did it.
So it's a ha factor. You want to be able to go, ha, ha, I did it.
Ha. And, you know, nobody has to hear my ha, but I know, like, ha, I did it, you know. I made it happen. And everybody needs that. You know, you need to be able to say, I did it. You know, if it's finishing school, if it's getting that job that people said that you didn't qualify for, or getting a house, a car, anything that you accomplish that you feel as though, you know, the world was telling you you couldn't, you have to have that, ha, I did it moment, so you can tell yourself, I can keep going and I can keep doing things that people think I couldn't.
Well, and that's taking that negative energy and turn it around, using it for fuel, right? So you can turn it around for something good for you, for your kids, what have you.
Yeah.
What they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool, very cool, very cool. Well, Lacey, I want to let people ask you questions, if that's at all possible. So I'm going to see if we can open up the phone lines. For those of you who are listening, if you are on the internet, you can, I think, maybe call in at this number, 347-539-5285 is the call-in number, I believe. So you can go ahead and give us a call in. And I think you can raise your hand some kind of way and say that we're ready for you to ask a question. So, Lace, while we're waiting to see if anybody has any questions, what other kinds of things would you want to tell people about, or tell women in particular, but people in general, I think, about learning to feel better about themselves, particularly if they've come out of abuse or some other difficult situation like that?
Yeah. I honestly think, and what saved me, and I will break down quickly, because this relates to it. The acronym for You Go Girl is Understanding Goals and Opportunity, Giving Inspiration for Real Life. And I think in order to overcome something, you have to go through something. And in order to get somewhere, you have to have had a goal set for yourself. I think the beginning of my adulthood, I didn't have goals. I had things that I wanted to do, but I didn't really have goals. Like, I want to achieve this by this time, and this is how I'm going to do it. Creating a plan for yourself is the most powerful thing you can do, because no matter what somebody tries to do, they can never take you off of your mission. And goals just equate to a mission. So if you say, you know what, I don't care what he says to me, I don't care what happens, my goal is to finish this degree, and this is how I'm going to make it happen. Because when you're so focused on yourself and your goals, everybody else starts to kind of disappear. They know that they can't get to you. They know that anything that they say is just going to bounce off because it's giving you the fuel to keep going. So you'll start to see the negative people feel like they're wasting their time even saying anything. And I don't know if it was a movie or something, but I remember the old guy, and it could have been a movie, it was a movie buff, but he was saying, when you have goals, you have somewhere to go. So always have somewhere to go.
Very good. That's important. That is super important. Lacey, I have a caller at area code 215. Area code 215.
Philly.
Is that Philly?
Yeah, that's Philly.
Is Philly on the line?
Yes, this is Philly.
Hi,
on the
caller.
Line.
What's your name?
Hi, my name is Sage. I just got on the call, so I didn't hear the whole call, but from the little that I did hear, I just want to tell you, I didn't even hear your name because, like, I've been on the call for a couple minutes, but I just want to tell you to keep up the good work. You are empowering women and young ladies, and I think your work is invaluable. And I just want to, you know, give a shout-out to you and tell you to keep it up. We need you. You're blessing so many women and girls, and, you know, lots of love to you. That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you. So much. Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. Very proud of you. I really am.
Thank you. And that feels good coming from someone from Philly, because I wrote that program in Philly.
Thank you. Really?
Yes.
Philly is such a rich town. It really is. It's just historically rich. We have some wonderful people here. We have the city of brotherly love is apropos. It is just how it is here, really.
Yes.
So I hope if you ever come to Philly again, I'll know you're here. I mean, I hope I could meet you one day, because I would love to just give you a hug and just tell you, that you have my support, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much. So follow me on Periscope at Lacey on Purpose. That's LACYON Purpose. Lacey on Purpose on Periscope. And that way you can see kind of like what I'm up to, what I'm doing. I'll talk a lot on there. And I don't like sell anything. I just kind of just talk. So
okay, I
get,
sure
like,
will.
Some genuine info.
I definitely will.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to that. Definitely. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening.
You do the same. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Bye-bye.
You.
Thank you.
Bye.
And for Sage and some other women who might want to connect with you, maybe for setting goals for themselves or just having other women to talk to, I know that you are doing these meetups down here in Georgia, but you're also doing calls, right? They're not just physical meetups here in Georgia. You're also doing calls, and people could call in from literally around the world, right?
Exactly. Thank you, Michelle. I was thinking that as soon as you hung up. But, of course, especially if you're still listening, Sage, or anyone out there, join the meetup. It is called Go Girl Network. It's an Atlanta meetup, actually Peachtree City meetup. But I believe you can join, because I know sometimes they try to restrict it, but look for Go Girl Network Meetup. And we do a weekly call every Thursday at 9 p.m. And it's just so that we as women, again, be stressing the fact of goals. Sometimes you need that accountability in some women just to say, hey, you know, in 30 days, this is where I want to be. And, you know, 2 weeks into it, we need to be checking, like, okay, Lisa, you said that you were going to be here. Where are you at, girl? What do you need from us to support you to make sure that you meet your goal? Which is very important, and it's something that I do just genuinely, because I know that it did. And it's no reason, reason to charge for genuine, you know. So join that meetup, get some inspiration. Even if you call and you don't talk,
I'll talk till I'm blue in the face, but I want it to be a conversation. I don't mind talking, but I really enjoy conversations because feedback grows you, right? Feedback feeds your growth. So it's great to have open dialogue and that open discussion with women who also want to get to another place in life. So definitely thank you so much, Michelle, for reminding me.
Well, and what I like about it is that it's goal-oriented. It's not just, like they call it a coffee clutch where you just kind of sit around and chit-chat. There's a certain amount of, getting friendly, getting to know one another. But there is the goal-setting aspect. And, I am convinced that most of us need someone to hold us accountable when we want to accomplish something, because it's super easy to just not do it if you're on your own. And if you have that group that's expecting, to hear from you and, really is supporting you, that makes such a difference. So have you had other groups that you've worked with that, perform that kind of role for you, or someone that you've worked with or anything like that that helps you yourself?
My honest, most recent, firsthand accountability partner was you, Michelle, when it came time to complete the novel. Yeah, honestly, and this is so honest, and as you were saying it, I was like, well, I want to give this example because I had it in me to write the book. I could have wrote the book in a couple of days if I really sat down and really wanted to kind of, grind it out and not sleep. But knowing, I think, accountability is knowing that person is expecting you to succeed. And that is the type of pressure that accountability should put on you, because it's not about, I want to be successful. You have somebody else who is counting on you to succeed. And how can you let them down when they just want the best for you? So I knew that if it was a certain amount of chapters that you set aside to edit, it would break me if I couldn't meet that deadline, because I don't know what you rearranged in your life to make sure that you could sit down and do that editing at that particular time, So if you have anybody who is setting aside to value that, and I think that was when I was like, oh, my goodness, if I don't have this done, I don't know what's happening on the other end. I don't know what's happening on the other end. And that wasn't like a group setting. That was when that taught me accountability. That really taught me accountability. Yeah, because I was worried about, oh, my gosh, what happens on the other side of this?
Wow, that is really, I am floored and honored and thrilled that the process that we went through was helpful to you in that way. I found that for me, having an accountability buddy, as they've been called too, really helps me in terms of focusing, because I know if I'm meeting with that person on a weekly basis, that I have to have something to report to them, because the week before I said I was going to do this, and this, I have to make some progress, right? So I find that that's really helpful. Now, you mentioned something else to me a while ago, and this may be a little bit more on the spiritual side of things, but you attended, I would call it a mastermind. I'm not sure exactly what the name of it was, but I think it was with Tiffany, and it was a spiritual retreat.
Oh,
is it a mastermind? There were a lot of people that came to the conference.
The conference?
Yeah, and you said that was really profound for you. What kinds of things did you find that you experienced or that you learned about yourself there that's helping to propel you forward right now?
I really learned, I thought I've always had kind of like a sensitivity, a sensitivity to spirit. And when I say that, people have their own thing, whether your religion, your spiritual, you get this God, Allah, whoever, you have your thing. But I just had this, I know that there's something greater than me, and it's other things going on around us. It's not just us. So when I was in that environment, I didn't think that I would, you know, I was like, well, I know I'm sensitive. I didn't think I would be touched like I was. So there are a couple instances where, I physically felt, you know, felt the spirit and felt like, you know what, there is something greater that I can rely on. There's something greater that I can rely on. And before I went there, I was like, listen, I'm not hooping and hollering and falling on the floor crying and screaming, blah, blah. Couple hours later, rolling around, you know, I'm on the floor, crying and screaming and hooping and hollering. I'm like, wait a minute. What happened? But it was, I would say it was transformative, and it increased my confidence. And people were like, okay, well, how did that, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit or whatever, how did that increase your confidence? As a woman and as a single parent, I think I took on everything as my own. Being in that environment, it was some things that I was like, you know what? I believe that if I just lay this thing to the side and just believe enough in what I'm putting out, that I'll receive a blessing on the other end. But that's not something I think I should worry about. That's something I need to give away. It taught me to take some things off of my plate. Because, you know, I was eating Thanksgiving dinner every day. And, you know, I was waking up for Thanksgiving. I mean, I got 3 meats, 15 sides, 2 desserts, you know, and that was my day. And I was so used to functioning like that. So it was some things that I was like, you know what, I could just, when people are like, oh, just give it to God. I was like, girl, how does that work? Do you write it down? Do you pack it up? You know, and I'm not being facetious when I say this, but how do you really just do that? I don't know how this is going to get done. I just say, okay, let me mail this bill off. No. But what I realized was ends up working out anyway. So why do you need to continuously wake up every day and take a bite out of things that you don't have control over?
Yeah.
So I, like, literally, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, because I want to ask you a question afterwards about that.
Yeah.
Though.
So literally, that conference was in January, and I can say that, you know, my life really propelled because I was like, you know what? I have the confidence to know that I can work on this thing and everything else is going to be okay. And everything else is going to be okay. There's some things that I have to take off my plate and give away and give it away. And everything has been working out. So I'm not, you know, I can't complain. I can't complain at all.
That's awesome. So do you think that women in particular have an issue with taking on more than we really, really can absorb or should absorb?
Let me tell you something. You can go to the grocery store and stand out in the parking lot, and you can pick out the single mother. You know why? Because she's not going to allow the person to help her with her groceries when she's running late for something, right? And she's not picking up 2 groceries at a time. She's not taking the cart to the car. The single mom grabs 9 bags out of the cart, runs to the car, throw them in the back seat, get in the car, and she's out. She doesn't have time to take the cart. Right? And I'm pretty sure you've done that a couple times, right? You're like, let me just grab this stuff. I ain't got time to be taking no cart back. I got this. We have that mentality of, I got this. I got all these bags. You know, I'm struggling to open the back door, but I got this. And sometimes you just have to, you got to let things, you know, get handled by somebody else. So, yes, we take on so much because we think we got this and we don't have to have it all and we don't have to have it all together at all times. And being able to give some things away to, you know, a higher power allows you to hone in and focus on the things that really, really matter to you. You cannot have a loving relationship with your kids if you're so stressed over bills.
Yeah.
you know, because you're like, oh, my God. I mean, you're looking at them like you ate another sandwich. Oh, I don't know how this is going to work out. You know, so it builds up stress. You know, you're mad at your kids because they ate two sandwiches, but, you know, they're growing. They may need two sandwiches. But you're thinking of the money, or you're thinking of how am I going to replace it. So we're always in rapid fire, and we have to let some things go because there's always going to be food. Something is always going to work out. I mean, it's always going to work out. But, you know, we got this. That's what we tell ourselves.
Well, that's what I always say is, I say it's going to work out because it's got to work out. That's just my mantra, especially right now. But it's going to work out because it's got to work out because I don't have a choice. It's going to work out.
Right. Yeah.
Well, awesome.
Go ahead.
We're coming to the top of the hour, and we're going to be wrapping up in a second. So, is there anything in particular you want our listeners to know about that you've got going on right now?
I got a whole bunch of stuff going on right now. So, of course, definitely look up the meetup group. Thank you, Michelle, for reminding me about it. Look up the meetup group. It's Go Girl Network. It's an Atlanta meetup. Powerful weekly sessions. If you want some accountability that's real and free, it's free. Go ahead and sign up for that. I released a novel a few years ago that I'm re-releasing and preparing to complete the sequel. That is Reality Check. Reality Check. I'll have a release date sometime in August. So look for that, Reality Check, and it will be PG. It'll be PG-15. instead of being rated R, right? It'll be PG-15. So definitely look out for that. You can go to the Instagram for it's Go Girls Network on Instagram to follow the Go Girl movement because it is a movement. So you can go there and just, you know, keep up with what we have going on, what I got going on, and I know by the end of this year, Girl is going to be a big name. So you're going to be like, oh, I remember her. Yeah. So definitely follow us using those. That's what I got going.
Awesome. So everybody make sure you support Lacey Fields, Lacey on Purpose on Periscope, Lacey on Purpose. Are you on Instagram with Lacey on Purpose as well?
Yes.
Or it's Go Girl.
Yes, it's Lacey.
Yeah,
I have both. So
Instagram.
It's Lacey on Purpose and the Go Girls Network. Go Girls Network on Instagram. And you can just hashtag you Go Girl to find anything, the letter U Go Girl, and you'll find us that way as well on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Lacey is always moving forward, always working to help other women to move forward along with her. So you guys, please keep an eye out on what she's doing. Lacey, thank you so much for joining me on Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. And I hope you guys can see your way here again to listen to us as we continue to explore where life meets spirit. Again, a big shout-out to Beverly Black and Tribe Family Channel, all the members of Tribe Family Channel. It is an honor. It is a pleasure to be part of it. You guys be good. Stay mindful. Stay prayerful. I will see you again on Tribe Family Channel on Friday, July 21st, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, and 5 p.m. Pacific. And remember, guys, all you need is love. Peace and blessings, y'all. Good night.